Evening. Last week we discussed a number of points how we can perceive God. We talked about understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with the world, how God feels towards us, and now we're going to discuss how we feel towards God. So there's a lot of talk in Judaic literature about the concept of Yirah Shamayim, or being, in literally it would be translated as fearing heaven. The question is, how does this concept, which is considered a bedrock for how Orthodox Jews are supposed to live, how does it jive with the idea that we want to have an intimate connection to God? Fear doesn't seem to be the building block of a healthy relationship. In fact, one of the signs of domestic violence is where one party is afraid of the other party and afraid of the presence of the other party. So if we're trying to attain the highest level of a relationship with Hashem that we can through the model of the Rambam, how is it that this concept of Yerushalayim plays into the paradigm of having a relationship with God akin to that of a spouse? So, according to the Rambam, this isn't a problem, because in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah Perek Beis Halacha Beis, the Rambam defines Yira as awe. So it's not being afraid of God, it's being in awe of God. And the Rambam says that being in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to love Him, and being in awe of God's majesty and how great He is. And this should be a relatively easy concept to understand. As we know that God is tremendous and awesome in everything that He does, we've talked about in the past the idea of understanding God's majesty through looking at creation, through identifying those aspects that define God as God's beyond time. God created everything out of nothing. God existed before, during, and after the world will exist. So according to the Rambam's definition of year of awe fits very well in with his paradigm of how we should relate to God. On the other hand, even if we define Yira as fear, the way it's traditionally translated, the complication with the Rambam's translation is that, great, you want to say Yira Shamayim means being in awe of heaven, but that's not the way Yira is used throughout everything. Yira is usually defined as fear. But we can still use the idea of Yira Shamayim being translated literally as fear of heaven, literally, to understand how we can attain an intimate relationship with God. Because fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. In the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, Rabbi Yehuda Ibn Tibbon says it's impossible for a person to arrive at the concept of Avas Hashem, or having a loving relationship with God, unless he first has a sense of reverence or fear of God. And it's possible to integrate both the opinion of Chovos HaLevavos and the opinion of the Rambam together. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. In the book The Power of Tshuva, Rabbi Heschel Kleinman notes that both definitions of Yira are really two different aspects of the same phenomenon. And this is clearly a hybrid approach. He explains that the word Yira we define as fear is really Yiras Ha'onesh, or being afraid of a punishment or being afraid of a consequence. And he says that this is a lower level of Yira, in that we'd be afraid that God's going to punish us as a result of an action that we do, either in Olam Hazeh or Olam Haboy, in this world or in the world to come. But Rabbi Kleinman notes that the greater level of Yira is Yiras Haromus, being in awe of Hashem, which is recognizing God's greatness, which would inspire us to love Him. So the way Rabbi Kleinman is presenting it is it's not the Chovos HaLevavos versus the Rambam, it's the Chovos HaLevavos' level, and then the Rambam's level is superior to that, but they're both two aspects of the same phenomenon. And the way I like to look at this, the difference between these two different types of year is to look at, to go back to our dating and marriage analogy, which we've been referencing throughout. There are two ways that a couple could learn to respect each other. The suboptimal way is for them to maintain a sense of marital homeostasis, or shalom bias, because they're afraid of the consequences. Neither of them wants to live with strife, neither of them wants to live in an uncomfortable living environment, and none of them want to think about divorce. But the better approach would be for each one of them to recognize the wonderful aspects of the other person, and to reflect on that and to say, wow, like, I'm lucky to be married to someone like that. And this mentality would lead to an environment of selflessness, giving, and love, because if one party appreciates who the other party is, then they're a lot more likely to want to and be willing to invest in the relationship, as opposed to having a more defensive relationship would be more proactive and offensive without being offensive. So the goal for us is to achieve that second level of relationship with God. And Rav Dessler points out in Mechtav Me'eliyahu, Volume 4, that Yerushalayim is the watchman that allows us to guard the wealth of Torah and Mitzvahs that we hope to achieve and we hope to attain. And he says that the way we achieve this concept of Yirat Shamayim is by building it and developing it in ourselves. Because if you think about it, even if we want to look at the lower level of Yirah, or fearing God's consequences if we do something that we shouldn't be doing in a relationship, since God doesn't strike anybody with lightning bolts, it's a little hard to feel that necessarily on a regular basis. And even if you want to have this the sense of yiras haromos, or being in awe of God, that also takes time to develop. We have to believe and we have to reflect on the idea that God is awesome, God's infinite, God created a world in order just to give to us, as we discussed previously from Derech Hashem. In other words, Rav Dessler is telling us that we'll be in a good place if we're concerned and we reflect about protecting the integrity of our relationship with God. But we won't get that sense, that feeling on our own. We have to develop it. We have to reflect about it. We have to think about it, like many other concepts in Judaism. And Rav Dessler's insight is rooted in a pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where Hashem says through Yeshaya, the Jewish people, you didn't fear me. You didn't worry about what would happen. You just did whatever you were going to do. And the Radak explains that the implication is, had the Jewish people feared God, they would not have committed all the terrible sins that were mentioned previously in that section. They would have held back from the stealing from their fellow Jews. They would have held back from desecrating the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, Yerushalayim is the guard for our relationship with Hashem. And if we truly believe and reflect on God's greatness, we're going to be less likely to do things that God asked us not to do. And if this idea is an extension on a statement of Chazal, Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed, Amud Beis, which says that a person needs to temper the positive emotion of simcha, of joy, with self-discipline and control. Because the concern is that if a person has a level of unencumbered and unrestricted simcha, that it's going to transform itself into frivolity, or at its extreme, a wanton disregard for responsible behavior. You could think about it in 2017 as like spring break. You know, college students go to these party areas, you know, with good weather in the U.S., and there are no holds barred. They've even made movies describing, you know, this type of scenario. It's like, there are no rules, no one cares, it's just pure, let's gratify whatever we can. Because I'll say, yeah, but, you know, that's not a very healthy and Jewish attitude. That our relationship just simply with the rest of the world has to be one where we're concerned about the responsibility for actions, besides for the fact that we have to be concerned about how we interact with God. And Rabbi Heshy Kleinman takes this idea one step further. He says, whether you define Yira, whether you prefer to define Yira as being fear or awe, the concept of Yira Shamayim can help us feel that we're engaged in an intimate relationship with God 24/7, 365. Because he writes that the sense of Yira sets up such a situation which we must always have in mind, that everything we do and say is seen, recorded, and judged. Which means that we remind ourselves that we're constantly engaged with Kadosh Baruch Hu, because God sees the tremendous crowd of people who are here tonight, or not. God sees what everything that we're doing, that we're thinking, that we're saying, as we say, even b'chadri chadarim, even in the most inner chamber that a person has, God's completely aware of everything. And if we remember that there are consequences to everything we do, both on a physical level and on a spiritual level, both from a defensive perspective that, oh, I don't want to make God mad at me, or from a proactive perspective that, no, I don't want to harm my relationship with God, that's what Yirat Shamayim is. And he says on a deeper level that there's a sense of comfort to knowing that God's always there. If you've ever had the experience of changing a car tire at 11:30 at night in the middle of Harlem, I don't know why anyone would mention that. Feeling that God's there is a very comforting feeling. That you're not necessarily worried when you have your head down on the tire iron trying to get the wheel off the axle that someone's going to walk behind you with a sledgehammer and take your wallet. Because God's there. And he says that someone who's continually sensing God's awesome presence consistently senses that protection as well. That sense of hashkacha pratis that hopefully we'll talk about in the weeks to come, where not having any clue where this parking spot came from. Because no one leaves a parking spot in Washington Heights, for example, at midnight, and all of a sudden someone just pulls out. And I can get to sleep at a reasonable hour because somehow a miracle occurred. And if anyone here knows what Washington Heights looks like at midnight, no one leaves their cars. Like, if after like 7:30 at night, if you can't find a spot, you'd better just put in a parking lot and, you know, and just fork over about $25. But that sense of continuously sensing that God's there is predicated on that sense of Yirat Shamayim, and also allows a person to feel comfort that, like, God's always there, and God's not going to leave me alone. And he says that this is the meaning behind David HaMelech's statement in Tehillim Perek Chav Gimel Pasek Dalin. He says, Gam ki eilech begeitz al moves, lo ivara ki ato imadi. He says, even though I walk in the valley overshadowed by death, I won't fear anything evil, because I know that you, meaning God, is with me. In other words, the fact that Hashem is always supervising us with that aspect of Malchus, and the concept that Hashem is supervising us and nurturing us with the aspect of being that Av HaRachamon, creates the intimacy that we hope to enjoy in our relationship with Him. That all the aspects that we've talked about weeks before come back on themselves. And the concept of Yirat Shamayim allows us to keep that in our focus throughout the day and throughout our lives. But we need to do the best that we can to generate that sense, as we mentioned a couple minutes ago. Chazal tells us in Maseches Brachos, Laft Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz MiYirat Shamayim. That everything is in the hands of heaven except for that sense of Yirat Shamayim. In other words, that Yirat has to be self-generated, as we control how we feel and how we connect to God. But the Maharsha in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Pei Beis, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, makes an interesting observation. He says, despite the fact that we control our own level of Yirat Shamayim, we should nevertheless daven to Hashem for assistance in growing in a spiritual plane. Because he says, in order to attain the kind of love of Hashem that we are referring to, that a person needs to set aside certain times to devote himself to inspiring his soul to love Hashem with a sense of longing and a sense of yearning, but it's okay to ask Hashem for help getting there. I mean, at the end of the day, it has to come from us. But the fact that we're davening for that sense and for help and assistance, developing a sense of Yirat Shamayim, means that we're asking for help getting to the destination in which we want to attain. It's interesting, there's an article that a woman by the name of Amuna Braverman posted this past week on H.com. I don't remember what the article talked about. What the article's title was. But the message is very profound. She put out an idea of, let's say, one of the members of a couple is reading, let's say, a marriage, you know, self-help type book, or is going to one of these like seminars on how to strengthen your marriage, and they say, in either the book or in the class, you know, buy your spouse something nice. It's a good way to invest in the relationship. And Mrs. Braverman in the article questions whether it's a better idea to tell the other person that this is where you got it from or not. She says conventional wisdom would say, don't tell the other person. You want it to come across as being completely sincere, totally altruistic, not being prompted by anything else. She says, on the other hand, in her opinion, she feels that no, tell the other person. And she says, because by the fact that you tell the other person, it means not only have you given them a gift, but you're telling them that I'm thinking about this relationship, I'm thinking about how I can make it better, I'm thinking at all times about how I can go about and invest in this relationship. Now, there's no research on either way to say which one's better or not, but I thought it was a very interesting perspective. And here, and I think this comes back to the point that we're discussing, that in any relationship, it's okay for one party to express the other person, look, I feel like I've made you upset. Can you tell me what I did that might have prompted that? Or, you know, to have a check-in, you know, meeting every once in a while to say, what, you know, how are we doing? You know, what might I be able to do better? And hopefully it's a mutual conversation as well. And from Hashem's perspective, he expressed the idea that we act in a certain way through living a life of Torah and mitzvahs. And from our perspective, it's perfectly okay to express to Hashem the desire that we take this relationship seriously and that we won't be able to do it alone. And this is known as tefillah, which hopefully we'll discuss, I don't know when, but some point down in the future. And how tefillah is really a conversation between us and Hashem, and every healthy relationship requires good communication. As we noted before, the author of Chovas HaLevavos, the Rambam, and many others bring up the idea that Yirat Shamayim is one of the factors that develops a sense of Avas Hashem. Orcho Sadikim quotes it as well. And the Ramchal builds upon this idea, and he notes that love is the thing that binds and attaches man to his Creator, increasing his spiritual strength and enveloping him with an aura of the divine. And he says that the main element of this sense of love is a sense of joy that a person feels, and in his words, he describes it as the flaming of the soul before its Creator, and the devotion of all of one's powers to sanctify God's name and to fulfill His will. That he says that a person could know that their level of Yirat Shamayim is gaining, but if they feel something, and this could be, you know, from a shir, this could be from a song, this could be at a certain type of event, or Yom Tov, or maybe during a part of davening. There are many, many different ways that this could manifest itself. And Rabbi Yehuda Ibn Tibbon, in his work Chovas HaLevavos, in the first chapter of Shar Avas Hashem, asks, what is the meaning of Avas Hashem? He says that it is the soul's yearning, the longing in its very essence for the Creator, so as to attach itself to His supernal light. In other words, we've talked about how Yirat Shamayim is very important. We've talked about how the only way to get to a sense of Avas Hashem is through a sense of having a foundation of Yirat Shamayim. But the focus is to get to that sense of Avas Hashem and to shoot, you know, as high as we can go. And to try to develop in our lifetime the most refined and impactful relationship with God as we can. And as we noted before, Yirat is the tool that allow us to achieve that sense. So when David HaMelech said in Tehillim Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, serve Hashem with awe, he was referring to a sense of Yirat Shamayim, I believe, that would be analogous to a man who loves his wife and isn't afraid to do anything that would lose that love. And in the same way, we should be afraid to cross Hashem and thereby dampen that relationship. And this feeling would be more, I think it would be more accurate not to call it Yiras HaRomamos, like Rabbi Kleinman cited, but really to call Yiras Ha'ava, or Yira Me'ahava, to be in awe of Hashem because of the love that we have, or to be afraid of Hashem because of that love that we have. And before we discuss next week who we are, what are we? We've spent the previous 2 months discussing who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But I think we need to make a very important point. And that despite the fact that we've been talking about trying to achieve an intimate relationship with God, we need to remember that we're not entitled to that relationship for any reason. There's nothing that we can do to put Hashem in a position where He owes us for anything. And that we exist at His pleasure, and we need to keep that fact in mind at all times. Now this would loop back to the idea of Yirat Shamayim, which is why I'm mentioning the idea here as opposed to at another point. Because not that we should be afraid of the consequences, but we should recognize the fact that from that level, that feeling generated by being in awe of God, that God doesn't need us to be here. God doesn't have a lacking, God wasn't lonely, God didn't need to create people so that, you know, He could have people, He could list His Facebook friends. Or, you know, statistics that, oh, I have, you know, 6 billion people in the world, like, oh, look at me. God has great self-esteem. God doesn't need people adopting for him to get an ego trip. And maintaining a healthy sense of hero will allow us to enjoy that intimate relationship with Hashem while keeping us safe, grounded, and responsible. The Nevi'im are full of accounts as to what can happen when the Jewish people take their relationship with God very seriously. I'm sorry, don't take it seriously. They take it for granted. And hopefully we won't follow their poor example. Over and over in the Nevi'im it says that the Jewish people interact with God bikeri, or very casually. That Lashon also finds itself in the Tochacha, in the rebuke, where God says, these are the consequences if we don't have a relationship. Right? That everything that dissolves and everything falls apart. And the Jewish people end up on the bad end of very terrible, terrible things. And it's something I think we should keep in mind, that thinking about what could happen and thinking about the worst case scenario where if we don't, interact with Hashem in a proper way, that, we're going to be up a creek without a paddle. But also thinking about, because how great God is, to think how great our relationship with God can be as well. So now that we've discussed who Hashem is, how we should perceive Hashem, what are the assumptions that we make about Hashem, what's the limit of our understanding about who God is, God willing, I hope next week to discuss examining who we are and of what are we capable of.